Welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Jim Morin started his career as an artist watching Saturday morning cartoons, drawing the characters as they bounced around on the screen. He won the 2017 Pulitzer Prize for editorial cartooning, the second of his career. Morin is semi-retired, living in Maine, and we spoke to him from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, at New Hampshire Public Radio recently. He's drawn 9 different presidents in his career, and I asked him what he's trying to communicate when he draws the current president, Donald Trump.
I've never tried to put it into words, to be perfectly honest with you. When you're drawing these guys, it's obvious you have a feeling toward them, and you sort of adjust their anatomy to give you a pictorial representation of your feeling. And with him, I'm just as outraged as many others are. So I just draw him to reflect that.
Caricature can sometimes be seen as an over-exaggeration of physical traits, but that's not how you approach caricature,
no.
though.
For no.
you, it's no. more personality, persona, something else.
Yes, and your attitude toward that person as well. And with presidents, for George W. Bush, which is a pretty good example, my caricatures start off really bad because it's almost a literal representation of what he looks like. And then they start to form over a period of time. And with Donald Trump, I think that period, I'm still discovering Donald Trump, my drawing of him. But it sometimes can take a couple of years before you really, really nail it. And then that is the caricature that you end up using. It comes from what they do, from how you feel about them, from the sound of their voice, from their attitude. It comes from a lot of different places. And the reason why the caricatures start out, not quite hitting the mark is because we don't know them. And it's the more you know the president, the better the caricature becomes.
Jim, do you get a lot of hate mail or hate response from readers?
I got a lot of hate mail when I first started because I was new, but I don't really get a lot of it now. And I think that might have something to do with the internet. I do get some, but it's not boatloads. So that's kind of interesting. I really don't know why. I think it's either they've grown used to me, or they realize that I'm not going to change, so they just ignore me. which is fine. But I don't get a whole lot of negative mail. When I do get it, it's from outside the state. It's from papers that take my work via the syndicate.
So we come back to this idea. You've drawn 9 presidents now, and I wondered, is there one particular president that was most memorable for you?
Oh, not really. They're all memorable for one reason or another. They really are.
Is there one that you didn't like drawing, or one that you just didn't like?
Gerald Ford is the most famous one for being really difficult to draw. And he was difficult to draw because he was so common looking. His anatomy was common. He was a good man, and I liked him in that respect, which is also that also makes it more difficult to draw somebody. But physically, he was very difficult, and a lot of people had a lot of trouble with it. And I think I learned a lesson from it. I think that was because you couldn't exaggerate anything with Gerald Ford. The key to drawing him was to really draw him exactly as he was. And the guy that did that and succeeded with it was Paul Zepp of the Boston Globe. He knew from early on that you just don't mess with some people caricature-wise. You don't exaggerate anything. You just draw him as he is. And that's why his caricature of Gerald Ford worked.
You've had a long career, and I'm wondering, are there any issues, national or local, where mm-hmm. you've said to yourself, I can't believe I have to figure out a way to satirize this yet again?
Yeah, you know, gun control comes to mind. I've been drawing about that for 40 years or more, and every time something happens, you're faced with the task of drawing something different than you've done before, and also trying to stay away from the cliches that have been created over the years from other cartoonists, and that is always a difficult one. And cartoons, any tragedy for me is extremely difficult to draw about.
Can you give me an example of some of those cliches?
Well, the cliche as far as tragic things are concerned, like 9/11, how many times have you seen the Statue of Liberty with a tear coming out of her eye? I mean, it's almost laughable. That is so clichéic, and it is the kind of cartoon that I immediately just say, okay, that goes in the wastebasket right now. I just won't do it. But a number of cartoonists would do it, and they did. And it's one of those cliches that is just it's almost funny. It's kind of lazy to go with a cartoon like that, and every time something happens, it is a hurricane leveling Puerto Rico. I don't know how I deal with that. I don't know if political cartoons are really good at doing it. Sometimes they can be, but those things are very, very hard graphically, hard for me to deal with.
You know, we talk about this long career that you've had and how much the world has changed. And obviously, you know, in today's world, so much is digital. Everything we hear, we talk about digital age and newsrooms, whether it's newspapers or radio stations. You know, there are people focused just on digital stuff. And, yeah. You know, I wonder how you feel more about the competition today in the digital age, when you can have someone just throw out a clever tweet or a GIF and they can reach millions of people and, back in the day, it was, you had to draw the cartoon out and you had to send it out, and yeah. It was a process.
I was thinking about that on the way in because, and a good example of that is the Chris Christie on the beach. There are so many, really hilarious takes on that where they would take Chris Christie sitting in his chair, isolate that, and put it in different circumstances, in other words, different situations. And, GIFs is another one. It's difficult. It's to some extent, it's a competition. And it's amazing out there, especially with Twitter, which I'm heavily involved with. I really like Twitter. It's useful for me. But it's amazing how much humor there is out there. I mean, really quality. These people are, in a way, they're cartoonists. I mean, and the ideas that they can come up with occasionally are just wonderful. They're so it keeps us on our toes in a way because it's just another form of competition, and we have to stay with it.
I'm talking with Jim Mourne of the Miami Herald, two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning political cartoonist. This is Sundial on WLRN. You've won the Pulitzer twice, and I wanted to know, help us understand, really, what does it mean as a journalist to win one of these? What does that represent?
It represents a pat on the back and a nice day where they honor you, and the next day you go right back to work and you don't think about it.
But you get to say you're a Pulitzer Prize winner from that point on, right?
It's wonderful. It's very nice. It's very nice, but it really it doesn't mean anything as far as the work is concerned. It was the same. It's the same challenge for me every single morning when I get up, and I took it very seriously. You know, I didn't sit down thinking, "Boy, I'm a big shot. I won a Pulitzer Prize." I just, you know, went about my daily routine.
I don't know if this is like asking a father, which kid do you love most, but is one of the two Pulitzers, did you care more about it than the other?
Yes. This one, the one that I won this year, was really special. And the reason it was special is because it was 21 years after I won the last one. And my feeling about this is that when I go in to my studio, I just try to do the best thing best cartoon I can draw. And when I'm finished with that drawing, I see the mistakes. I see things I wish I'd done differently. And that's for every single cartoon. And I'm always trying to make it better somehow. And even after that first Pulitzer, I mean, the day after, how do I make it better? And also, I love looking at art, not just cartoons, but art. And I will fall in love with somebody, and I'll see how do they do what they do, and I'll try to incorporate that, not by copying them, but I'll try to incorporate that into my cartooning, the way I draw the cartoon, and see what happens. And so I've always wanted my work to grow. And I thought that the Pulitzer this year was totally unexpected. But that's why I think I enjoyed it so much. It was kind of a way of saying, you know, that's the way to do this job. That's the way, you know, you did well. And it also is at the end of my career. So it really was a special, special Pulitzer, this one.
You've been drawing cartoons since you were a kid.
Yeah.
Were you one of those kids who grew up watching Saturday morning cartoons? You're watching cartoons all the time?
Oh, yeah.
What cartoons were you watching?
The classic stuff. Warner Brothers cartoons, Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner. I always loved Robert Clampett, who used to work for Warner Brothers, and then he broke away and created Beanie and Cecil. That was a wonderful cartoon. Rocky and Bullwinkle is funny even now when you see them. They're wonderful. The great scripts, the writing in it is extraordinarily good. And I like all the Hanna-Barbera stuff. So I used to watch all that stuff, and I started drawing them. And that's actually how I got started into cartooning. I started copying those things, and then I started creating my own characters.
And did you know at that point, at a very early age, well, this is what I want to do for a living, or is it just something you enjoy doing?
No, it's something I enjoyed doing. I was too young to consider, you know, doing it for a living. I didn't think it. I just enjoyed doing it. Politics came into it later. I come from a political family. My mom and dad are conservative Republicans, as are my brothers, and I'm the lone liberal, and always asking them questions.
What do they feel about your work?
Oh, they disagree with it, but my parents were both very proud.
Is there ever a time when they've seen something you've drawn and really had a problem with it?
I'll tell you a story. My father was a lawyer. In a very very well-known Washington D.C. law firm, Dickstein Shapiro and Morin, it was called, and I drew a cartoon about John Tower. John Tower was a senator who was being who had been nominated to be defense secretary. And I drew. There was a big controversy about his, something about defense contractors and the, you know, giving him money. And I forget what the particulars were, but it was a controversy. It was, that I couldn't ignore. And I drew John Tower in bed with a defense contractor prostitute. And I forget what the caption was, but the drawing was controversial enough. And my father called up and started screaming at me on the phone. And he's using choice language that he had never used with me ever before. So he was mad. And what I didn't know when I drew the cartoon was that John Tower had just joined his law firm and occupied the office that was right next to my father. And these cartoons were syndicated. And I can't remember whether that made the Washington Post. It may have, but there was always the possibility that it would and that Senator Tower would see it. And he was quite upset. So occasionally I do rub them the wrong way.
Probably a sign of success, though, if you know that you can.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's actually as an education to in how to deal with criticism. I listen to people who disagree with me. I don't just cast them off and say, I don't want to hear you. I enjoy debate.
What did you study in college? What was your major?
I was a liberal arts student for about one semester, and my parents came up to say hi and take me out to dinner and all that stuff. And I said, either I go to art school or I drop out. It's your decision. And they said, okay, go to art school, because they didn't want to drop out. So I studied art, and we had academics as well, requirements. I majored in illustration, which is a way for me to use my cartooning and develop it that way. It was the only way I could do cartoons and caricatures and have it fit into their curriculum.
And at that point, are you thinking this is a career?
I thought yes, actually, because the guys that I really idolized at that time was Edward Sorel and David Levine. David Levine is one of our great caricaturists, just an amazing draftsman, and Edward Sorel as well. And I still love their work.
Who was the biggest influence for you?
There is no biggest influence. They all get wrapped in one way or another. There are so many. But I think one that's really special to me is a cartoonist by the name of T.S. Sullivan. He used to work for Life magazine in the early 1900s. At that point, they had writers that wrote the captions, and the captions were really awful, and the ideas were really awful. But they would tell him, draw a hippopotamus and a horse, and then they're saying something to one another. And his drawings, his pen and ink technique, was so magical, and his caricatures were so amazing that I really did try to copy him for a while and copy that technique and see how he does this and how he does that. And you can actually, there's a point in my work where you can see it, actually. It's embarrassing looking at it now. But his work is, as far as my cartooning is concerned, it changed a lot of things. And I still love him. I still love to look at his work. It's a shame that very few people know about him. He was a superstar back then. While he was drawing, he was the guy for a lot of cartoonists. And now people just don't seem to remember him.
A lot of people obviously know you for being a political cartoonist, but you're a painter as well. Do you get to do more of it now? Are you doing more of it now?
Yes. I'm going to, yes. Definitely. And it's, you know, there are people that do bring politics and things into their paintings. I'm not going to do that. Someone told me recently, and it made me feel really good that they'd known some of the work that I did, and it was exhibited in Miami about a dozen times in various galleries, and the museum in Coral Springs hung some too. But there's something in the background of those paintings that bring about, you know, the level of dread, is, I guess that's the best word I can think of right now, that dread that goes through my cartoons. And I love drawing landscapes, and I love drawing or painting people, landscapes especially.
So you're not really retired. You're still just working. But I'm curious as to how retirement is treating you. How's life treating you now?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I'm going to continue on throughout the Trump administration. It's a historical time, and it's an interesting, fascinating time. And I really, you know, I don't know of anybody who's stopping this, even if they're going into retirement. I really want to see this administration through, and then after it, concentrate fully on painting.
Jim Morin, it's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate the time, and enjoy your retirement, I guess, whatever that means for you, and enjoy, you know, the weather and the traffic up there in Maine.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.